talking to an old preacher friend of mine this week, and we were comparing notes on ministry. That's always fun. Anyway, he said, you know, the longer I do this, I have to tell you. And I said, what? He said, I'm still trying to be a good Christian. Now, he's about 20 years older than I am. Does that say anything? Still trying. Still trying. You know, I thought about that, and that's why you got the title that you have. Still trying. Sometimes I think we get so bottled up in the technical stuff that make up the church that we forget that the softer tone of Christianity, the softer, most wonderful tone of Christianity really is love. It's love for one another, love for yourself, love for God, yes, but love. And the most amazing gift that Christ ever gave really is for all of us to be more loving to one another. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Isn't that it? We're talking about that. The spirituals talk about loving. And loving is a hard thing in the life of the church. And I think as I look at my 78 years, I'm still trying too. I'm still trying to be a better Christian in what I do and what I say and how I act. And sometimes I fall short. And I think that's what we need to learn from our lesson today. So if you'll open your Bibles, we're going to take a look at a lesson that has something to do with this idea that a good Christian doesn't always have to fit a mold. We don't have to create legal entanglements. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 20. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Am I banging? I got a short. Would I be better off if I did this? Huh? Okay. I don't want a short. Anyway, we'll back. Jesus said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. This is marvelous. I feel electronic genius trying to get stuff out of here. You forgive me, don't you? Thank you. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments, and Jesus is talking about not just the Ten Commandments, but he's talking about all of the laws in the book of the law that have been created since the Ten Commandments were written. And remember, those were probably in 6 volumes and were around 360 laws, and they were detailed tremendously. If you got to fill 6 volumes, you know it's pretty complicated. So when he says the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought it was interesting to read this, then to look at the life of Christ, and then to really measure the things that Christ did and taught, and to think how many times he broke the law. Think about it. He deliberately broke the Jewish law to upset the apple cart and make the Pharisees and the scribes really, really mad. And he did this time and time again. He healed on the Sabbath. He crushed wheat. If you'll remember the story, he crushed wheat, that's work, on the Sabbath. He said things which upset the religious establishment, no end. Oh, how dare he say things like that to us? His whole attitude was that, I don't think strict legalism is really an important factor in your faith. That's what he said. That's my interpretation. Petty rules and petty regulations that fill all of these volumes don't matter. They really don't. And to think that they are going to make a difference in the lives of people. Yeah, I have to say, Jesus was right on target. The scribes and Pharisees worked out these rather silly legalities and rules to control people, to separate them in society, and to separate them even as families, and to separate them from the hierarchy that they wanted them, where they were, to feel that we are the elite in God's kingdom, and you better look up to us. We follow the rules, but we don't let you see when we break them. Nothing was written, by the way, with a lot of the rules that were made. It was mostly oral, the oral tradition, whatever you said around the campfire. And people would say, well, that's okay. I won't do that. I better not do that. And it was always reinterpreted by one situation after another. Later, it was written down in a book, a parchment, and it was written, there were almost 800 pages of rules and 60 volumes. Now, that would have been a parchment. Okay, that's a volume. So 60 parchment rolls were filled with rules. Don't do this, don't do that. Always have a hat on when you go to pray. And, you know, important things, they said. Believe it or not, for Orthodox Jews at the time of Jesus Christ, true religion was based on keeping these rules and these legal regulations. And if you didn't keep them, you were not going to be welcome into God's kingdom, ever. Jesus said he didn't want to eliminate the law and the prophets. I don't come to do that. But I want to show you that there were a means of worship to serve God that goes beyond that. Something that has more tangible flavor for your life than following rules and laws and systems. And that included the Ten Commandments, by the way. That's not an absolute, by the way, even in the mind of Jesus Christ. It's a God. It's a God. I always get a charge out of these lawyers. I'm glad John didn't hear this morning and I'd insult lawyers. Mm-mm. The ones who say we've got to carve it in marble and put it in a building or put it in front of something and it'll make a difference in our society. Baloney. And Jesus would have said baloney. It's kosher baloney, by the way. What Jesus was doing was laying down some broad principles to show that what was good yesterday may not be good for today or tomorrow. There's a new way of thinking and a new way of acting that I'm going to insist that you think about. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses your goodness, your sincerity, your love, reflect, if you will, the Jews aim to satisfy the law, including anything that was written. His aim was to show gratitude in a different way, a gratitude about God's love and to the claims of love. And Jesus set before us not just laws, but the love of God. St. Augustine wrote, and I love this phrase, that the Christian life could be summed up in one phrase, quote, love God and do what you like. Now, how's that? In other words, love God, but be human. Accept the frailty of the human condition, that it isn't perfect. It never will be. No matter how many laws and rules you say you have to follow and make. Well, a good Christian wouldn't do that. A good Christian wouldn't say that. A good Christian would... A good Christian is usually dead. A practicing Christian. When we realize how God loved us, the one desire of life is to answer that love. And that's the greatest task in the world, for it presents us with a task the like of which those who think in terms of law never really dream of, and with an obligation more binding than the obligation that we can have toward any law. You see, our only motive for life is love, and our only desire should be our gratitude for God's love for us in Jesus Christ. When preachers say, share the good news, they mean share the love of Christ wherever you are. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're talking to, that's your witness. That's what Christ was saying. That's what Christ is still saying. Yep, that friend of mine was sure right. He's still trying to be a good Christian. I'm still trying too. I hope you are. God, we're grateful for the love you've given us in Jesus Christ. Empower us with his love to be loving witnesses. Make us indeed more holy, O God, for Christ. Amen.